Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the liturgy, the order of worship that we use for the Lord's Supper, we usually say these words before we partake of the Lord's Supper. The pastor speaks the words, "It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord." Perhaps some of you who remember the old Lutheran hymnal, remember some different wording. It is truly meet, right, and salutary, not meat like the meat that we eat, but meat meaning good and appropriate. So we updated the language to be a little bit more understandable. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Well, that's true. It truly is good and right that we give thanks to God at all times and all places, but it is not always easy to do that. And that's illustrated very well by the events of our sermon text. 10 lepers were healed. Leprosy, a terrible disease at that time for which there was no cure, a disease that eventually would kill the person who was infected, a slow and protracted, painful process of dying as that skin disease gradually more and more ate away at the flesh of the body and caused parts of the body to deteriorate and fall off. A terrible infectious disease. Because it was so terrible and so infectious, those who were infected with it were exiled from society. They were quarantined. They were made to live away from other people in their own communities. And they were, according to the law that God gave to his people, the Israelites in the Old Testament, whenever they came within a certain distance of someone who was not infected with leprosy, they would have to shout to warn the person that they themselves were leprous, and so do not come near me. You can imagine, very humiliating, very isolating, and of course, physically painful, and especially bringing the person face to face with their own impending death. And so, 10 lepers were healed. But amazingly, only one returned to give thanks, and that one, from the Jewish perspective, was a foreigner, a Samaritan, a person whom, between the Samaritans and the Jews, there was historic hostility for not just decades, but centuries. By this point in time, going back 500 years to the time when the Jews returned from the Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem and attempted to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and the city walls of Jerusalem. But the mixed race people in to the north and surrounding them opposed their efforts and attempted to lead them away from God's will. So for hundreds of years already, there was hostility and division between Jews and Samaritans. But of those 10 who were cleansed, only the one Samaritan returned to give thanks to the Jew, the Jewish rabbi, Jesus. Now, many of you, I know, are good at figuring percentages. You sports fans, you know how to calculate batting averages or yards per carry. You know how to calculate the prime rate for interest and loans, mortgages. Think about your percentage, your average of giving thanks in comparison with all of the blessings that you have received from God. Well, so that we might be instructed and we might learn better how to be like that one leper who returned to give thanks to Jesus in our reading, let's first consider the problem of thanklessness and then seek God's power for producing thanksgiving in our hearts and lives. And think some more about that scene that we read about in the gospel reading. 10 lepers were told, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And that was according to the Old Testament law, so that they might be ceremonially declared ceremonially clean. The priest had to inspect a person who had a skin disease like leprosy to make sure that, yes, in fact, they were healed of that skin disease before they could re-enter society and break their quarantine so that they would not risk infecting others. But as yet, as they started on their way, there was initially no change. But then as they were going along on their way to the priest, they began to notice on their own bodies or on each other's bodies, look, it's happened. Just as he said, I've been healed. I'm clean. Look at my hands. They're clean. Look at your hands. All of us. It's true. And then with that, they break into a run and go to the priests at the temple to inspect them and to certify them as being clean ceremonially. People in the village, we can imagine, gaping, staring at them as they go by, continuing to shout and dance in joy. But then we read that only one of the ten thinks about who made that healing happen and stops and turns, returns to Jesus. Despite his eagerness to go and to be declared clean, he turns and runs back to Jesus and falls on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now imagine Jesus calling to the other nine who were cleansed. Hey guys, here I am. Aren't you forgetting something? Well, if he had done that, we can imagine that, yeah, they might have stopped for a moment and said, oh yeah, oh of course, yeah, we were so excited. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And had they done so, and despite the fact that they did say thank you under those circumstances, we would hardly call that true heartfelt thankfulness. Thankfulness is much more than just a matter of saying the right words, the words that you were expected to say under the circumstances, good manners. True thankfulness cannot be produced simply by coaxing or encouraging a person and saying, come on, cheer up, count your blessings, be thankful. No, true thankfulness must come from the heart. It must be genuine and spontaneous. But that's not always easy. The problem of thanklessness is a problem of the heart. Those nine thankless lepers had a problem much more serious than their leprosy. Their deepest problem was that of a sinful heart. In the Bible, sin is frequently compared with physical maladies, with illnesses, sicknesses of the body. For example, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament describes the sinfulness of the people of Israel in his day, more than 700 years before the time of Christ, saying these words in Isaiah chapter 1, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and bleeding wounds. Again and again in the Bible, we see that sin is compared to a contagious disease that has infected the whole human race. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men, to all people, because all sinned. Sin is the selfish, greedy attitude of putting myself first and foremost, and my wants and desires. It's appalling how sin infects even the nicest people like us. Jesus asks the one thankful leper, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? In that question, he was calling his own people, God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, to account. They had received bountiful blessings from God. They knew the right words with which to respond. They could breeze through the religious rituals that God had commanded of them without thinking, mindlessly, because they had done them so many times before. The thankless lepers pleaded, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What they really meant was, Jesus, we want your help. We need your power, but we don't really want you. They wanted the goodies, but they didn't want the good Lord to have power over their lives. And that can be true of us also at times. Selfish greed can disguise itself under even the most impressive religious piety. And this happens without us being unbelievers or hardcore hypocrites. It happens to us because we are weak and sinful. We still have the old sinful nature living within us. We may even have very good intentions of letting Jesus be our master and Lord, but then we so often slip back into trying to take charge of ourselves and our own lives. Maybe some of you have had this experience. Maybe you've been healthy all your life, and then came a time when you became seriously ill. And like the lepers in our text, you cried out to God for help. Maybe you sincerely vowed to God, when I get over this, then things are going to be different, God. No more grumbling and complaining. No more taking things for granted. And then God answered your prayer. He made you well. But then eventually at some point you slip back into the same old habits. The best of Christians have this problem. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul laments about himself, the great missionary of the gospel of Jesus, the one who braved a great personal hardship and torture and even death in order to proclaim the good news about Jesus in strong faith. He expressed this about his own struggle against sin. He said, I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So what help is there? How can the problem of thanklessness be overcome? Where is the power for thankfulness? Well, for that, we look to the mercies of God. The lepers cried out to Jesus for mercy, and in this, they were doing right. The healing that took place is a sign of a merciful Lord and God. Psalm 103, a beautiful psalm, describes God in this way. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul praises God as the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. So it's right for us to look to him. But it's easy, however, for us to say that God is merciful when we are healthy and wealthy. But can we also say that in the face even of great hardship, of great suffering, in the face of starvation that we see and hear reported in some third world countries? Can we maintain that attitude, saying that God is merciful when we look upon those who are physically suffering and in great pain? Can we be confident of that truth when we walk into a nursing home and we hear the groans of the aged and the frail? We see the twisted bodies of those who are stricken by stroke or disease? Well, then, thankfulness is not easy, and there are no easy answers for the plight of the multitudes of suffering human beings. The best evidence that I know of for believing that God is merciful, though, is his Son, Jesus, our Savior. The 9 thankless lepers were like children who received a beautifully wrapped present, but then become so fascinated with the ribbons and the wrapping paper that they ignored the real gift inside. To the one thankful leper, Jesus said, get up and go your way. Your faith has saved you. The other 9 were healed, but But this man was saved. He found in Jesus Christ the one who brought healing for his sinful heart, as well as for his physical problem of leprosy. He found the one that God had promised through his prophets in the Old Testament, through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 of his prophecy, the suffering servant, the Messiah that God promised to send, who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He, Jesus, the Savior, is the source of power for thankfulness, because in his mercy, he has borne our sins in his body on the tree of the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. His forgiveness provides us with a healed heart, one that beats in harmony with his gracious will. And so in our merciful Lord and Savior, then it becomes possible to be thankful even in the face of evils and suffering and hardship that remain in our lives because of sin and its effects in this world. With this mercy of God in view, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to give thanks in all circumstances. And again, in Ephesians chapter 5, he says to us to give thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Not all lepers in this life are healed. Not all cancer and chronic disease is cured. There is crime, injustice, inflation, unemployment, ultimately death. Yet because of the mercy that has already been shown to us by God through Jesus our Savior, we can join together with the Apostle Paul in affirming in Romans chapter 8, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. No, not everything in this world or in our lives is good, but in everything God works for good for those who love him. The healing that we have through Jesus our Savior is not a temporary healing only for us to become sick again later on. No, in him we have eternal healing, spiritual healing, eternal life. And so with this confidence, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The glory that God will give to us when he takes us out of this sinful world, this veil of tears, into the perfection of heaven. This is our power for thankfulness, no matter what circumstances we face in life. The one leper returned to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice. And that is what we are to do also. That's why we are here today. We're gathered today to give thanks publicly to God, our Savior, on this day of Thanksgiving. Not just in general feeling thankful, but specifically giving thanks to God who has given us all blessings. In the good news of Jesus, our Savior, and God's word, we are assured of God's unconditional love for us, his never-failing mercy. He gives that to us to taste and see in the Lord's Supper when he gives us the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. He heals us and strengthens us of our spiritual sin sickness for lives of thankful living to him. But it must not find, our thankfulness must not only find expression here within the walls of this church, because if it is only here, then it most likely is simply just words that we are speaking, but not true feelings that we feel from our hearts. No, it must also be lived outside of these walls. Our thankfulness to God must be put into practice in our homes, in our places of employment, in our neighborhoods, both giving thanks to others for what what good and help that they give to us, but also expressing thanks to God to others and before others as a testimony to them of God's love and blessings to us, and especially of his great gift of salvation. We do this so that all may see and glorify our Father in heaven, from whom all blessings flow. God has given us the greatest blessing of all, of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. And he richly pours out into our lives so many other blessings. And so it is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to the Lord. It isn't always easy, but it is possible by the mercies of God. Amen.